The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors. Keep on, keep on.
Oh, good morning. Welcome to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Sean Sayre here with you this morning. We're live and local here on our WTBR studio on Federico Drive, and it's Thursday, December 12th, and happy to have you on board for the show this morning. A little bit colder than it was yesterday, waking up to just a dusting of snow out there after pretty much an entire day of rain, and that's the way it went yesterday. It was just a soaker. Now it looks and feels a little bit more like winter and a little bit more like December out there. We have a great show coming up for you this morning. We have Carolyn Valley. She is the CEO of Central Berkshire Habitat for Humanity. And we're going to be talking about all kinds of stuff that's going on with the organization. There's a very special matching program where your fundraising, your dollars can actually go a little bit further if you want to make an impact in your community. And we're going to be talking about their building schedule and applications for new units that are going up. All kinds of good stuff talking about Habitat this morning. What a great organization that is. And first, let's go to our weather forecast and see what we have in store for us over the next 24 or 36 hours or so. Here we go. Berkshire
weather. WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, partly sunny. A slight chance of snow showers this afternoon. Much cooler with highs in the mid-30s. Temperature falling into the upper 20s this afternoon. West wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 35 miles per hour. Chance of snow 20%. Tonight, partly cloudy. Colder with lows around 15. West wind 10 to 15 miles per hour. Gusts up to 30 miles per hour in the evening. Friday, sunny, cold with highs in the upper 20s. West wind 5 to 10 miles per hour with gusts up to 25 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Yeah, that sounds a little bit more like a December forecast to me. You're getting it down into the teens there overnight and only in the 20s during the day. A little bit of wind, that'll remind us about December for sure. Okay. Welcome to the show again. It's Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. And joining me here in the studio this morning, Carolyn Valley from Habitat for Humanity. Good morning, Carolyn.
Good
How
morning,
are you?
Good morning, Sean. Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be here, always. Yeah. You're so much fun to be around.
Especially this time of the morning.
Yes,
I'm just a barrel of laughs.
People. We're all morning people.
But thanks for being here. And, as usual, every time you come on the show, I realize how much Habitat for Humanity has going on, just a tremendous amount of stuff. And we're going to get into unpack some of that, if you will. Got to use a housing term, right?
Unpack. That's right.
Give us a little, just a quick overview of the organization and what you do, and we'll get into some specifics.
Sure. Thank you for the opportunity.
Sure.
So a lot of people know that Habitat builds homes, and we build them so that people can buy them at an affordable price. But we also help build communities through community resource development, resident engagement, resident training. We also provide services like free taxes that are coming up soon. Yeah. If you make under $67,000, you can get your taxes done for free by trained IRS certified volunteers that are awesome. And they've been doing this for like 13 years. So that's really great. Mm. We also have a Habitat Build and Repair Corps, which it trains people to go into the trades. And I just got an email this morning saying we're one of the affiliates across the country that have been invited to participate in a grant opportunity. I haven't read through it because I saw it at 3:30 this morning. And I was like, yeah, maybe I should read the details after I get done with Sean.
You're not working at 3:30 in the morning.
No, but I oftentimes wake up. So I'm excited to find out what that's going to hold. We are so excited that by the end of this month, we're going to have three new homeowners. Wow. So one family is purchasing in Dalton, two are purchasing in Pittsfield. We have two more houses that will be completed by March. Hmm. So that application period is open. And it's just really a great opportunity for people to get a housing payment to own that's way less than what rents cost. And I think that that's something that's critically needed right now in the Berkshires.
Yeah. And we do talk about the housing crisis here on the show mm-hmm. with various guests. And, we try to bring it to light because I'm sure that plenty of people are in the middle of it and realize, you know, day to day that that is their reality. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people, I think, listening don't think about that, and they're set in their, situation. They don't have to worry about it, which is a great place to be. The rents are high. It's very difficult to find housing that's affordable. The median incomes in this area are not, you know, what they might be in the suburbs of Boston or mm-hmm. other places like that across the state. So, you know, there's a real squeeze here in housing, right? And that's yeah. where Habitat plays a real critical role.
And in fact, I just saw in the Eagle a couple of weeks ago that out of all of the gateway cities, we had a 10% increase in rental costs over a 2-year period.
10%,
so the highest in the state.
10% in 2 years.
In 2 years, yeah. in the state. Mm. So it's not because we have community navigators that help people try to navigate these systems. And we're seeing people that are coming in that are renting a 2-bedroom. And I'll say places I would not want to live, you know, like the quality of the housing stock is horrible. The utilities are off the charts. Mm-hmm. And they're paying like almost $2,000 a month. And it's like, who can afford that?
Right. And what do you attribute that huge meteoric rise, if you will, in the real costs of housing recently? I mean, we know it's a national problem, a national issue. We're aware of, you know, the interest rates being, you know, higher. And then, you know, we hear about housing stock. But why is it that, especially in Berkshire County, compared to the rest of the state, that we've taken this huge jump?
Well, I think that, and nobody wants to hear the COVID word again, but it really spiked during COVID because people could leave cities and they can work remotely. And the housing prices here at that time were less expensive. I mean, it was not unheard of people paying $100,000 over asking price in order to get a home. So a lot of the local people were priced out of that. Hmm. We also have investors that are coming in, buying up properties, putting a little paint on them and flipping them or charging a lot for rents. So the housing stock is not great in the Berkshires. And now you've got an influx of people needing to rent. And, you know, we're a capitalist system. So the prices go up when you have the opportunity to do that.
How about short-term rentals and things like that? Has that affected our county in a greater degree or about the same as other places?
I would say that it's a little bit more here because what happens is if you can, like, I know even back 15 years ago, we had a friend that her and her husband and kids would move out of their home so they could rent their home to Tanglewood people. Mm-hmm. And they would make enough during those 3 months of Tanglewood to pay their mortgage for the year.
Yeah.
So that still goes on. Mm-hmm. So these, you know, short-term rentals, even if they rent it for 4 months, that, you know, most people that live here need to live here all year long.
Right.
So imagine the stress of going like, okay, I can get a 7-month rental and then it's going to be at the height of the season. Where am I going to go?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we had a family that was in the office 2 days ago and said they're living in a box truck.
Really?
And I was like, oh, and when my staff came and said, like, they're living in a box, I was like now or in the summer? Like, yeah, when was that? And it started in the summertime because they couldn't find housing.
Wow.
So
no, and
it's
those
just really scary.
Those stories are, unfortunately more common than I think people realize.
Yeah.
And it's one thing, you know, when you're talking about a place like Los Angeles or Florida, or someplace warm, you know, it's still not an ideal situation, but it's less deadly, I guess you could say, right, than doing that here in a cold weather area like Pittsfield or Berkshire County.
Yeah, it's definitely a problem to be had here.
Yeah. So there's definitely real issues, and Habitat for Humanity is one part of the answer to that.
Yep.
And so, again, when people are involved in purchasing the Habitat homes, they're also involved in the building process, right?
Yes. So they help build their own homes because we think it's really important for them to understand how a house goes together, because how do you maintain something you don't know how to do, right? And if you've always been a renter and your parents have always been renters, you know, if something happens, you just think, well, I'll call the landlord.
Sure. Right?
But no, when you own a home, you have to know how to maintain it. And we also talk about that your home ownership, is a wealth generation tool, mm-hmm. right? Like, this is how most middle-income Americans grow wealth.
Yeah.
It's not because we have a shitload in the stocks.
Right.
It's because we own a home.
Yeah.
So understanding that it's you have to protect your asset. Mm-hmm. So we do financial education. We do coaching. We also help people think through, like, what will the next 5 years be after you buy your house?
Mm-hmm.
And we have such incredible outcomes that we see, like, once people have that stability of knowing what their payment's going to be, where they're going to sleep at night, it frees them up to higher thinking. Mm-hmm. Like, we have a family now that her son, her oldest son, who had struggled to get through school, ended up graduating from a four-year college degree, works at a really good job locally, and he called me up and said, Carolyn, I just want to let you know I'm buying a house for myself, but I can't go through Habitat because I make too much money. And I was like, you are my success,
right?
Like, you are why I do what I do.
Mm.
And I was like, that's what we want for all people. Like, we want this to be a foundation that moves a whole generation forward, not just like for the immediacy, but for a life transformational change.
Well, and I think it's a set of skills also that you have. I think you alluded to that when you change over from being a renter to being an owner. And, you know, the landlord isn't going to come and take care of something for you. You need to know, and not only do you need to know how to navigate that kind of stuff, it might be fixing it yourself, or it might be knowing when you have to call somebody to come fix something.
Yep.
But just knowing what those resources are, knowing how to plan out ahead of time when you're going to have to fix something and how to, you know, get to that point, right? Those are all skills you sort of have to build in when you're in that mindset of an owner instead of a renter.
And then, like, creating your monthly calendar of what needs to be done, right? Because sort of like changing your batteries on your smoke alarms. Like, those happen twice a year. And then if you have gutters, when do you clean your gutters? Mm-hmm. Like, that's a thing. You have to do that.
Right.
So changing the filter on your furnace, if you have a furnace. So all of those things, we try to help them build out a calendar. And then we're looking for a new tool that can send reminders to people, like, here's the month you do this. Here's the month you do that. Because people still get so busy. I mean, I know I get busy, and I just thought the other day, it's like, wait a minute, did I get my car inspected? I was like, oh, yeah, I did. Okay, great. but we get so busy that we forget about some of the routine things that are really important to make things work.
Right. We're speaking with Carolyn Valley this morning. She is the CEO of Central Berkshire Habitat for Humanity, and this is Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR FM. One of the things you mentioned, which is also kind of a good connection for a lot of folks here locally, and I'm sure at other places where Habitat serves and exists, the types of things that you do for tradespeople, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's very interesting. And just off camera, before we went on, we were talking about how there's a real shortage of people in the trades right now to be able to build some of these structures, and that I'm sure is also figuring into part of the, you know, why we can't have enough housing and why we can't have enough affordable housing for the people that need it.
It's so, exactly the case.
Yeah, so talk about some of the support you have for tradespeople.
So there was a two-year study. A bunch of housing folks got together and met over a course of 2 years, and Berkshire Regional Planning and One Berkshire put together a master plan for housing. And the shortage of tradespeople came up as, like, number two. Number two. So it's like, well, how do we, you know, yes, we are lucky enough to have a great vocational school for young people, but we don't have anything for somebody that is a little bit older that would like to go back.
Or maybe somebody who wants to change careers, right?
Exactly.
Because there's lots of people that, as we know, you know, these days you don't just have one career. You might have as many as three or four careers in your entire lifetime. So, you know, there are people that maybe want to change from whatever they're doing to say, you know what, I think I want to build homes. I want to be a plumber. I want to be an electrician. Well, how do I do that? How do I transition to that?
Exactly. So we have something called Habitat Build and Repair Corps. It's a AmeriCorps stipend program. So for a full-time term position, it's 1,700 hours of training. And then they folks get a stipend, and then they get an education award at the end of it. So they can use it for further certifications or whatever. We signed on with BCC to support their new electrical initiative, and they just got the planning grant for that. I just got an email
That.
So Linda Claremont, kudos to you for getting that done. And they have an HVAC program going right now. So Habitat's role is, you know, we're teaching people. A lot of people think like, oh, anybody can paint. Oh, anybody can do that. No, you can't. I mean, not and do it well, not do it professionally and be able to be paid for that. And it takes a long time to learn all of those pieces, both in your head and in your hands. So many of our, we have three people that are doing a second year with us, and they just went for hoisting and forklift training, and they're going to get some credentials on that. But we're really trying to augment the people that are retiring to have people that are coming up. And it's a lot better for our contracting partners if they know that we've given them some of the, how do you come to work ready? How do you read a tape measure? How do you do this safely? How do you do that safely? How do you maintain your tools? So if we can give them that and get them ready for the specifics of what they want to do, then we're starting to like move that pipeline, you know, further down and backfill for that. So I'm really excited. I'm hoping that we're going to get more positions available because there's only so it's not a cheap program because the trainer, it's like a 3-to-1 ratio or 4-to-1 ratio of the trainees and stuff. And we wish that the stipend could be more. But it's not governed by us. So,
yeah. Well, and it's important to learn from people with those skills. And I think of the apprenticeships and, you know, transferring that on the job knowledge from people who have been doing it for many, many years, you know, down to new people. And, you know, a lot of this you learn as you do, I would imagine, too.
Yes. And recognizing that you don't get to come in and just do the top things or the like, oh, I just want to frame the wall. Uh-huh. Like, no, there's a lot of work that goes before the wall framing.
Yeah.
And I'll say like three of our returning members, I was listening to them tell a new person how to do something. And I was like, they got it. Like, they got it. And they could connect with them. And they were like, I remember, man, when I just started out. Like, they've been doing it 20 years. Like, I remember when I just started out, I didn't know how to do that either. But now I do. And I'm thinking, it was a year ago. You know? And the guys that are the trainers have been in the field collectively like 90 years, you know, each of them has more than 20, 25 years experience, and they've done so many different types of construction. So they can say like, hey, if residential construction is not your bag, I can tell you about commercial because I did that.
Mm-hmm.
I've done modulars. I've done panelized homes. I've done this, that, and the other thing. And then we have our electricians and our plumbers and our HVAC guys that work on site, and they get to be exposed to that trade and just start saying, like, is that something I'm interested in? So it's like the trades are beautiful because depending on what your interest is, there are so many opportunities, right? And there's also, you know, project development. So if you determine like, hey, I can see how a house goes together, but I don't really have the hands for it, but I have a mind that says I can plan a project. Well, that's another avenue that you can go into.
Yeah.
So construction's a very broad field.
And I would imagine just opening the door to that, those opportunities and those possibilities for people where they might not have even seen that for themselves, but they identify what somebody does in on a job site or in a project or something like that and says, that I identify with that. I might be able to, you know, make that work.
And then one of the other things that I'm on the vocational school advisory panel, and I know a couple of the tradesmen took a bunch of potential tradespeople for a ride about to look at what houses they have that they live in.
Okay.
Because you just think, like, I'm going to be dirty and whatever, and they don't really see, like, what the potential is. And when they start seeing the houses that these people live in, they're like, wow, they make big money. It's like, yep, they do. When you learn it and you're good at it, you can provide a very nice living for your family.
Yeah. So. Carolyn Valley is my guest here this morning on 89.7 WTBR FM's Morning Drive, and we're talking about Habitat for Humanity. You have a kind of a cool plan happening right now, and it's called Home for the Holidays.
Yes.
And let's talk about that for a minute. So obviously, it's really important to be able to do fundraising as well to make all these programs possible. And local fundraising is really, really important. Donating directly to an organization here in the Berkshires that directly affects your neighbors and your community. So what does this plan offer people who are interested in donating and being a part of the solution?
So we were really lucky that one of our donors came and said, I want to have a bigger impact than I normally do. So I will match dollar for dollar anything that is taken in during this time period up to a maximum. I think it's like $6,000 or $8,000. And I was like, wow, that's great.
Yeah.
You know, and I know like this coming week, there's going to be a flyer in the Berkshire Eagle. That's Habitat International, which is great. There are our mothership, but we get a small portion of that, right? If you mail that check to Habitat right here, we are the ones that are building locally, and you're supporting home construction here.
So that has more of a direct impact.
It has a direct impact to our affiliate. So, you know, either way, it's Habitat is Habitat, but it'll mean a lot more to us if it comes here. And now it'll be doubled by this match. So and it's even more important.
How long do you have to make the match?
We have until December 30th.
Oh, boy. So this is tight time frame.
Yep,
here we are on the 12th
time.
Already. So we've only got a couple weeks.
Exactly.
So that means a lot. And it's great to have a donor who will put that up, right?
Yeah.
To help match some smaller donations. It really makes every smaller donation that much more impactful.
Exactly. And one of the things that we've always said is that because we also use a lot of volunteers, the value of a volunteer is like $39 an hour. So when we can use volunteers to help support the mission, any donation you're giving is going even further. It's like 5 to 1. So this is an opportunity to really have a big impact.
And what's the best way if somebody wants to contribute to that? How can they find out how to do that?
The easiest thing to do is go on our website, berkshirehabitat.org, and there's a big donate button. And you can just hit donate, and when you get in there, it'll say home for the holidays, or follow us on Facebook. So on both our Restore Facebook pages or our Central Berkshire Habitat for Humanity pages, she's ads running, and there's a QR code, so you can do that. And now most of us know how to use a QR code after menus, and it's pretty easy to go through and do it. And a lot of people have been doing it. And in fact, I saw a donation that came in from L.A. yesterday. So I thought, like, wow, somebody from L.A. is looking at our Facebook?
Wow.
Like, that's pretty awesome.
Okay. But you take it, right?
Yeah, so, I was really happy about that.
I don't know. The thing with QR codes, I see them on my phone, and I'm like, how am I supposed to take a picture of this? It's on my phone.
Oh, yeah.
I don't quite get that.
Well, but, and I think probably she's got a link on the Facebook page, too. She can just do that. Yeah. Erin is spectacular. She makes all the flyers and the posters and puts them everywhere, and she'll think of, like, oh, this would make it easier to do this. We now have a text thing that we can send people texts if they want to know about, like, when Vita opens or, you know, anything that's going on at Habitat, volunteering, anything like that. We can give them text alerts if they want that, and she produces all of those
as well.
Yeah, that's
great. That's a handy thing.
It is.
For any nonprofit that deals with a lot of volunteers, you know that communicating with them and keeping them in the loop it can be difficult, and you want to try and find every way possible to do that.
Yeah, and we always ask when a volunteer signs up, it's like, what's your best method of communication? And some are email, but most people really would prefer to get a phone call. And it's like, okay.
That's funny, because I think I'd rather get the email. Phone calls are really tough to navigate most of the time. But I know that everyone has their preferred communication method, right? And so you just know if you need to communicate with this person, well, you know what? They respond to the best of the phone call. Just give them a call.
Just do that.
Yeah.
You know. And I was lucky enough this week, too. We have some great, great volunteers at the Restore. And one of the volunteers at the Restore had invited me over for a cup of tea. So I was like, you know, it's during the workday, and I was trying to figure out, like how can I fit it in? And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to give myself this gift. This is my holiday gift to myself, that I'm going to get to sit in a volunteer's home, have a cup of tea, and learn about her life. And it was, so far, it's been probably the best hour I've had this week. She's fascinating. She's lovely. She turned me on to a new book. And I was just like, this is great. And she goes, when can you come back? And I'm like, probably not until February.
Take those opportunities when you can, exactly, for sure. Exactly. And, you know, you just brought up the Restore, so we should mm-hmm. probably let people know what that is if they haven't heard of it already and where it is.
Sure.
And this is another big thing that Habitat does, right?
Yeah. So the Habitat Restore takes gently used items and resells them, and the funds from that goes to build homes. And we also have staff there. We have paid staff and everything. And they are open Wednesday through Sunday, 9 to 5. It's located at 399 Hubbard Avenue. And they also do donation pickups of large items and by appointment donation drop-offs. And because there has been such an influx of illegal dumping since Casella's been closed,
right.
We really do have to take appointments. And we
so you can't just drive down to the Restore and with a truckload of stuff and hand it off, right?
Yeah. So we have to really, and we have to be able to say, like, we can sell this so we can take it. Mm-hmm. But if we can't sell it, we can't take mm-hmm, it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's 1,700 square feet of stuff, but a lot of that space is already full.
Yeah.
So, and then this coming, for the month of December, we have a holiday special for our VIP rewards people. And if you haven't signed up for that, you can sign up that day and still get to take advantage. Mm. We have a tree that has all of these Santa loot bags, and some of them have gift certificates, some of them have percentage off, some of them just have an inspirational message, and you get to pick which one you want off the tree. Mm.
And that's at the Restore?
At the Restore, okay. And it's on Fridays. Mm.
Okay. So it's a really great opportunity for people to sort of upcycle,
yes,
if you will, things. And you know, in our culture, we tend to have a very throwaway culture in a lot of ways. And even the things that we buy these days are almost meant to be thrown away at mm-hmm. some point. So it's nice to see where items can be, you know, brought back and into good use for people. And of course, the benefit of that is that the organization can continue its good work, right?
Yeah. And Caligari's just donated, I think, I don't even know how much paint. You know, and paint goes for about $50 or $60 a can. Mm. These are brand new paints that we're selling for $10. And wow. Lowe's donated rock salt or some kind of salt. Mm. A 40-pound bag we're selling for like $16.
Wow.
So, you know, so tomorrow is probably going
to
be
icy. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's, I mean, we're really lucky that a lot of like contractors or businesses will be like, hey, we've got this. Would you like it? Lowe's has been a really great donator to us, and they'll bring it to us from Hadley.
Yeah.
So, so they're, I mean, even
is
though we don't have a Lowe's here, that's
yeah.
our nearest. Hmm. There's also one in Greenport, New York.
Okay.
But I kind of like the Hadley store myself. So.
Yeah, that's, and when did paint get so expensive?
I don't know, but I mean,
it is crazy, though, right?
I know there's a reason for it. There's some chemical in it that cost a lot of money. But I know that we were talking before about, like, the rising cost of construction.
Right.
And prior to COVID, we were able to build a house at about $185 a square foot. Now we're, like, at $364, and that's Habitat.
And that's in a very short period of time.
Yeah. Like, 2020.
Yeah.
And now we're 2024.
I mean,
that's
know that
huge.
Yeah, pre-COVID seems like, you know, a whole generation ago, but really it was only 4 years, five years ago. And yet, you know, so many things have changed, and the cost of building is definitely one of those.
Yeah.
And it seemed like also that there was a time where the cost of building had skyrocketed way up, and the building materials, for example, the lumber and stuff like that. Has that come back down to a better point now, or is it still extraordinarily high?
It's come down, but not as much. And then there's new building codes in effect, and those building codes, like having electric vehicle hookups as required and mandatory, even in affordable housing.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Is that a state mandate, or is that federal?
It's a state mandate. And they are pushing to have all electric homes. So, and when you have an all electric home, you also have to have special ventilation and the increased air, increased house efficiency of like having 1.5 air changes is super tight house. And all of those cumulative changes are costing about $40,000 more.
Oh, wow.
When so you're trying to build affordable housing.
Yeah, and I think also the more efficient you make a house, I assume you're making it more heavily insulated and sort of airtight.
Yes.
And while you're doing that, you know, the older houses, you didn't have too much of a problem getting some fresh air in because, unfortunately, you couldn't keep the fresh air out, right?
Exactly.
You had too many leaks.
Yeah.
And so, now you're probably tightening that down, but that means that you could also end up with a sick building or something.
Well, you can't because you have to have this this air circulating ventilation system, which adds a very nice, not a nice expense. It is a very big expense. We're really proud of our house in Dalton, 16 Gulf Road, was the first house that hit the new Tier 2 all-electric house. Hmm. And we had an air exchange of under 1.5. And, I mean, for Habitat, you know, that also uses volunteers to be the first house in the state to hit it, I was super proud.
Wow. So under 1.5, meaning just explain that
air
again.
Air exchanges per minute.
Per
minute.
Okay.
Yeah. So you have to, when they do an airflow test, it has to meet the standard. It's very difficult to do it.
Yeah.
It's very difficult. So I think.
And yet this is a house that's basically using all electric for its heat, air conditioning, whatever. But you still have to move the air.
You still have to move the air. Mm-hmm. The good thing about being built so tight is that the house itself generates some heat. So it will make the utility bills less. But I'm always looking towards and trying to find ways that Habitat won't be able to put solar on a house. But I want to find ways to have homeowners be able to get solar on their house. Because I think that that's one of the things that, you know, like every time building rules change and whatnot, the intention is always good. The unintended consequence of making an all electric house is that we have no control over what the electric rate is going to be.
Right.
So
and in the
we
Northeast,
went from like 9 cents to like 14 now.
Yeah.
And that's a big jump in a year.
Yeah, I'd say.
Yeah,
and electricity costs and energy costs in general are one of those things that make the Northeast can be a very difficult place to keep going, both for commercial and for residential. Right?
Yep. Yeah. So that's why I feel like it's really important that if they're looking at, you know, environmental impacts and trying to help low to moderate income homeowners, which are usually the people that can't afford it, right? Mm-hmm. Like housing is a cost burden to them. Utility costs are a cost burden to them. But what if we're building these houses and somehow there was a way to get inexpensive solar on the roof so it actually reduced their utility bills, which would reduce their housing cost, which would be able to free them up to spend money in other ways,
right,
like children's education and things like that.
Yep.
So
a lot of moving parts there.
There is a lot of moving parts.
Carolyn Valley is my guest here this morning on Morning Drive, 89.7 WTBR FM. And we are at the point where we take our little top of the hour break and thank our underwriters and give you a station ID and all the other things that we do. So let's do that right now, Carolyn. And we'll come back for part two, talk about the volunteer tax assistance program that's coming up. Tax time is right around the corner, people. I hate to tell you. And talk a little bit about the building schedule and things like that we're doing. So this is 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield Community Radio, and we'll return right after this.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Another hour of powerhouse hits.
We will rock you
from the station that rocks. 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
Missed an episode of your favorite show? Have no fear, because we have podcasts. Type in WTBRFM.com/podcast on your favorite browser and search for your favorite show. It's that simple.
Hi, this is Sean Sayre, Executive Director of PCTV. When Taconic High School was demolished, we could have lost this radio station. Instead, PCTV stepped in, built a new studio and transmitter, and gave the station new life. And now it's time to pay that back. Support this station today. Go to WTBRFM.com and click the donate button. You won't be sorry. Pittsfield Community Radio thanks you for your support.
We are Rotary, people of action. and we add our support to great ideas to make real change happen. Whether supporting the local warm coat drive, fighting hunger with our local food pantries, or making more transformational gifts like the splash pad at Clap Park, Pittsfield Rotary is having fun and raising funds to change lives. Join us at our weekly lunches and get involved. Take action with us. Visit RotaryPittsfield.org for more information.
Support for this public service announcement comes from Berkshire Community College and Park Square Productions.
Greetings, this is John Pollock, host of The Jazz Train, which comes your way every Saturday night from 10 to 11:30. The Jazz Train generally features music recorded on a particular calendar date in years past and provides relevant commentary and discographical details. So why not join me for a ride on the Jazz Train for a weekly musical adventure, coming to you on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is Community. And UCP of Western Mass. Turn passion into purpose when you apply at UCP of Western Mass, now offering full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. It's more than just a job, it's our identity. Apply today at ucpwma.org/jobs.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back. WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Yeah, all right, welcome back to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. I'm Sean Sayre here, your host for this morning, and we're live here in our studio talking with Carolyn Valley, the CEO of Central Berkshire Habitat for Humanity, and we've got plenty more to talk about here in the second half of the program. First, let's take another look at the weather forecast and see what we have in store for you coming up. A little bit more of a wintry forecast, I suspect. Here it comes.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, partly sunny. A slight chance of snow showers this afternoon. Much cooler with highs in the mid-30s. Temperature falling into the upper 20s this afternoon. West wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 35 miles per hour. Chance of snow 20%. Tonight, partly cloudy. Colder with lows around 15. West wind 10 to 15 miles per hour. Gusts up to 30 miles per hour in the evening. Friday, sunny, cold with highs in the upper 20s. West wind 5 to 10 miles per hour with gusts up to 25 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
So there you go, a little colder than it has been, but a little drier also. Not going to have the 2 or 3 inches of rain that we've had over the last couple of days. And it's funny, on another station, I just heard a bit of a weather almanac, and they were talking about, you know, the record high on this date and the record low on this date. And the record low, it was one I remember, actually. It was in 1988, and it was, 12 below, something like that. And so it's possible, right, to get really, really cold. So we look at, you know, a low of 15, and we can deal with that. It's not too bad. We can handle that. All right, welcome back to the show here, Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR-FM. And Carolyn Valley, thanks again for being here, sticking around for the second half of the show. So as we get into December, we start thinking of all the things that we've got to do in the next couple weeks to get through the holidays and New Year's. And then all of a sudden, it's the new year. And guess what we're talking about? Taxes.
Yes.
So let's talk about the, it's called VITA, and it's a volunteer tax assistance program, right?
Yes.
So let's explain that a little bit for people and let them know what's available.
So we have, I think, about 25 preparers, 25 volunteers. We can always take more. If you don't feel comfortable doing taxes themselves, you can help with intake, scheduling. There's really a role for everybody. And I'll tell you, the group of volunteers have such a blast. One wouldn't think of that when you think about doing taxes. You wouldn't go like, oh, that's fun. But they, I mean, I hear them laughing and having a great time. They love meeting with the people. So we have what we call a hybrid model that they people can drop off their complete intake form, all of the forms that they need, and IDs and social security cards and all of that. And then the tax preparers we'll do the taxes, and then we'll meet with you afterwards to go over that with you and finalize it. And we have locations in Pittsfield. There's a satellite up at MCLA that we partner with MCLA to teach the accounting students how to do it up there. We have Great Barrington Library, and this year we'll also be doing it at Fairview Hospital for like pop-ups kind of thing. And we may be talking about doing a couple other pop-up places because so many people have said, like, oh, it'd be great. Could you bring this here to us?
Yeah.
So Lynn Newton is the person who is our coordinator for that. She's amazing, super organized, super wonderful, and really keeps everybody up to date on any new changes in the law and all of that. But all of these people volunteer and are certified by the IRS, and all of our tax preparers are certified at an advanced level.
Oh, wow.
So that way they know what they're doing. Like, and many of them have been doing it for like 10, 15 years.
But if you wanted to get in and get started and become a volunteer, what kind of skills should you have to be able to start working in the in sort of the tax preparing area like that?
I think if you're detail-oriented, that's good. If you can ask good questions, that's another good thing. But basically, it's like, it's not doing math. You're taking information from here, putting it in there, and then making sure that you're following the guidelines. And you're fully trained for that. And we have ongoing training even throughout the year so that, like, if something changes, like there's a few systems changes this year, when those happen, Lynn goes to all of the volunteers and says, hey, here's another thing to do. One of the things that we found that we also like to remind people is, yes, taxes start after the new year, but you should be planning, especially if you have any independent contractor money that comes in. You should be collecting,
Something that doesn't come in on your W-2 form,
on your W-2,
for example, anything
else. Or if you're self-employed, and a lot of people don't realize that sometimes there might be 1099 as a personal health care aid. Well, taxes are not coming out of your pay. So you need to plan for that in advance. And that means you should also be keeping receipts. So one of the things that we do each year right after tax season closes is anybody that has come through that we see needs additional support in how to set those up, we'll have workshops that will follow up and say, like, okay, this is how you need to have it ready for next year. So if you are one of those people that went through that this year, hopefully you're using your binder and putting your receipts in it. If not, start putting them in by order of, like, what's what.
Because
that's really important.
There's only so much you can do at the point where, you know, we're at the end of the year now, and if you haven't done that work already, maybe you didn't know you had to do that work. You can only do so much, right? But you can be prepared for next year because you know now that that will be how you have to get get your ducks in a row, if you will, right?
And the laws change every year, and I'm sure they'll change, next year as well.
Is that a challenge for your volunteers also to keep up on that?
No, because the bulletins are posted, so you know, like, we're going from this to this. The hardest year, I think, that they had was when it was a combination of when they were changing the earned income tax credit, when they were giving more people money in their paychecks. So what was happening is you're getting more in your paycheck, but people were accustomed to getting this huge, you know, refund. And they're like, something's wrong, I'm not getting it. And then they would have to show them, like, see, this is how much you used to get, but you're getting more of it because of the way it's being done each paycheck, which is, for most people, what you need, but many of us are accustomed to using that, you know, refund, as I call them, problem-solving dollars. I can't tell you how many people I hear saying, oh, great, I'm getting my tax refund, and I'm going to pay my year's auto insurance. I'm going to pay this. I'm going to pay this.
Yeah, if you expect
to get
it,
ahead.
Right? Yeah. And it's hard when you are expecting it and you don't get it, and then you have to figure out what to do.
And then we saw last year that because of some changes, people were having to pay. And that was a shocker for some folks. And fortunately, our people know how to help you set up payment plans through the IRS. And it's not just doing the taxes here, get out the door. I mean, because we have staff that's with us all year long, when people get a letter from the IRS that they can come in and they'll help them walk work through it or whatever. So.
And what are the qualifications for being able to take advantage of this service? Because this is great, right?
Yeah.
You can walk
if you make under $67,000 for family income, you can we can do your tax returns. We can't do tax returns for small businesses. Mm-hmm. We can do them for a limited. Like if you have an owner-occupied rental, I think we can do those.
Uh-huh.
But when you call, they'll go through a question. They'll go through a bunch of questions with you, and they'll tell you whether you're in scope or out of scope. And if you're in scope, they'll schedule an appointment for you to drop it off, or they'll just say, "Yep, you're in scope. Bring it in." And, and we have an intake person that reviews everything right then to make sure like you're turning in everything you need, so it won't be a holdup.
And I would think some of the tax preparations are simple, straightforward,
very
1040,
simple.
You know, you very few documents needed, and you know what's going to happen at the end, right? And that, and that goes right through. And then there's probably some complicated ones, right?
Yes, and some that are like if people work in multiple states or, you know, like they didn't do their tax return 2 years ago. So there's certain amount of time we can go back and we can, you have to file a paper return, but we can still do those. And we also do a lot with elder people that are getting the circuit breaker tax credit. Many of them would not need to file a tax return, but if you want to get the circuit breaker tax credit, which is for people over a certain age that are property owners that, you know, meet certain qualifications, it gives them money back.
Yeah. So you have to file if you want to get that
credit. If you want to get it. But you might not have had to file otherwise.
Right. And that's another foreign thing to some people to realize that at a certain point in their lives, they actually don't need to file a tax return anymore. That's that can be really jarring, right?
Yeah,
You've done that through your entire life, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, I don't need that anymore.
Yeah.
It's not required.
Yeah.
But you feel like, no, it must be required.
Yeah, like how could it not be? You know, they always say death and taxes,
the
two things that are assured.
Well, you're still paying the taxes, I'm sure.
Yeah, even at that.
They'll figure that out. They just may not have to put in a return.
Yeah.
Carolyn Valley is my guest here this morning on Morning Drive, and she is the CEO of Central Berkshire Habitat for Humanity. And so back to housing here for a little bit, because again, obviously taxes are important, but you still need to live somewhere.
Yes, that's true.
There are a couple of units that are coming close to being closed, finished. What does that look like, and what are the applications like?
So we expect that these two condo units, they're located on Anota Street, high efficiency units, three bedrooms, really nice homes. And our homes include refrigerator, stove, dishwasher, and on these units, a washer dryer. So it's not like when you normally, you know, like when I bought a house, I had to go out and buy stuff afterwards.
Yeah.
These are all pretty contained.
Nice.
The identical ones that we're selling at the end of this month, we just got word on the appraisal came in at $260,000. And because of...
Are these side-by-side?
These are side-by-side.
Condo units?
Yep, side-by-side. And because of the fact that the City of Pittsfield Community Development, CPA, had given us funding and the Mass Housing gave us NSP money, we're able to sell these units at $140,000.
Wow.
So, and that's only because of the funding that came from the government on that. And the total monthly payment we expect will be $1,200 or less for a three-bedroom, brand new, highly efficient house.
Yeah. And unfortunately, that is not a common price anymore, right?
No.
You think
not
about that
all.
And you say, well, I could afford that. That seems pretty reasonable. And you're like, yeah, but there's no way you're going to find that anywhere else.
Yeah. And we hear that all the time. Like when people are coming in to apply, and I'm seeing, like, how are you spending $1,800 a month on, you know, I see what you're making. How are you making it work? And they are usually having to pick up extra jobs. They're doing Uber. They're doing Instacart.
Yeah.
Thank you.
They're stretched,
right?
instead of using 30% of their income for housing, which is the benchmark, right?
Yeah.
What you're supposed to be doing, it's probably more like what, 50?
Yeah.
60%
sometimes. Yeah, I saw two this year that were paying 60% of their income.
And so it doesn't leave much room for anything else,
no,
right?
And they're so stretched emotionally and mentally, because
totally.
And they're like I don't know in 2 months how I'm going to pay that unless I pick up a third job.
Ugh.
And that's a rough way for people to live.
Yeah.
You know, and I have seen people getting sick from it, not just from the actual physical working, but from the mental strain of having to try to manage. And it's not like they're living an extravagant lifestyle.
No, right.
You know, they have a secondhand car that they don't have a payment on. And it's like, well, how could you? Because you have a 60% housing cost.
Right.
I mean,
And that can only last for so long, too. The old cars will only last.
Yeah, exactly.
You'll need to do something about that at some point. So explain the application process, how that works. And if someone's interested in, you know, putting in for these houses, not everybody's going to be able to get them. So how does that work?
So a couple of things I want to let people know is, in addition to these two houses, we're building five more in Pittsfield. Hopefully we're going to break ground in a couple of months. We're building 20 more in Housatonic. So what we're saying is, people should come and apply to be part of the Habitat program, because depending on what your family composition is, so maybe these two houses are not going to be the perfect fit for you. Mm-hmm. But while I'm still in the planning stages of what the next houses I'm building are, if I know who's in the pipeline and you're already doing your financial education, if you're already doing your partnership hours, we can say like, okay, we need to build XYZ because this is the applications that we have. So we're really encouraging, like,
People are putting in their partnership hours, they're building maybe someone else's future home in addition to maybe potentially building or partly their building their own.
And building a community, especially in Housatonic, because, you know, we're hoping to, in phase one, we're going to do 10, in phase two, we're going to do another 10. And I would love to have all 10 homeowners chosen by, you know, April 1st, because we're going to be, there's quite a few of those units that are modulars. And I want to put in the order for the modulars before the price goes up anymore. So knowing who wants to buy them is going to be really critical.
Yeah. And then how long do people have to live in the house? Let's say, you know, things change and they have to move on or go somewhere else. Do they have a set amount of time that they have to live there after accepting it?
I would say technically no, but there are deed restrictions on it that says that you will have to sell. When you go to sell, you have to choose a monitoring agent. Habitat is a monitoring agent, has to make sure that you are selling the house to somebody at 100% AMI or less.
Okay.
Because, you know, this contribution or this investment with community dollars for you to have an affordable home, we want to make sure that for at least the next 20 years that unit is affordable to keep people here. Right.
So there's no incentive basically to get in and then flip it and try to make a quick profit or something like that.
There's none of that. Habitat retains the first right of refusal. I was telling you before that, you know, the difference between the appraised value and what we sell it for is considered a CBHFA Habitat. forgivable grant.
Okay.
So every year that you pay your primary mortgage to your lender on time, we forgive a 30th of that.
Okay.
Each year, and on your anniversary date, that gets credited. So you're building up a lot of equity over that amount of time. But it also means that, you know, you are expected to be a good citizen and you know, play it forward when it's time for you to sell. Like, I had a woman that wanted to move south, and she had bought a house from us 25 years ago. And she came and said, do you guys want to buy it back?
So she had lived in it the full 25 years.
That's amazing. Yeah.
Great.
And she said, would you guys like to buy it back? And I said, actually, I have enough in the pipeline that I can't. I said, but let's get it sold for you.
Yeah.
And she was able to take that and relocate with her job. So, you know, it's certainly a great hand up.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I see is I've been at Habitat for, this is my 18th year, and I've only had four homeowners in 18 years that have sold. Two of them were for job relocation. One of them was due to health reasons, and another one was due to divorce.
Okay, so that's quite an amazing track record if you think about it. In that amount of time, only four people selling. So that really shows the impact, right?
Yeah, and they all. I mean, when you build something with your own hands, you know,
it's different.
It's like you know what it was like to build that wall. Your blood's in that, right?
Yeah.
So I think that makes a big difference.
And then talk about the impact to the neighborhood also, right? Like these two condo units on Anoda Street, what was there before?
That was vacant land that had, like, years ago, the city had to knock land down. I mean,
so it was probably a house that had been demolished or condemned or whatever, so that it stayed vacant.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So now we're adding back to the tax base again, providing beautiful, safe, healthy homes for the people living there. And what we're finding is a lot of the people that are applying for homes right now, you would not necessarily expect that they would need habitat help. So, for example, one of the people that's purchasing the house in Dalton, she's a clinician at the Green Center. Mm-hmm. And when I was talking to her about it, I said, what would happen if you couldn't find housing? Mm-hmm. And she said, I wouldn't be able to stay here.
Right.
And we all know we don't have enough clinicians in Berkshire County. So I was like, thank God we had that opportunity. So we're able to help, I always call the fabric of the community, stay in our community because of the affordable housing prices that we can sell it for.
Are there parts of the county, and I think, you know, of course, we're talking about Pittsfield here because we can be heard here in Pittsfield, but Southern Berkshire County probably has a bit of a different dynamic in terms of what people earn and what they can afford for housing. And then, of course, the prices for the housing have gone crazy, probably even a little bit more so in South Berkshire County. So it's forcing working people that, you know, maybe not have those huge salaries to scramble to find housing somewhere else, you know, maybe further away from their jobs than they would have to, right? And do you see that too, where people are sort of spreading out into maybe more less traditional areas, more rural areas
to find their housing? Some people are moving to like Millerton and having to drive in. I mean, a lot of people are going to Connecticut, New York State. And these people are not I'm going to call high paid professionals that are having, but they're like trying to find any place to live.
Yeah.
I mean, we do, one of the things that I do is I'll meet with employers and talk about the benefits of Habitat and offering this to their employees and just say, can I come in and talk about home ownership with your employees and see who needs it?
Yeah.
And a lot of employers are like, yeah, please come in because we can't keep people here because they can't afford to live here. I just did a study on, We were comparing like how much money you would have to make buying a house traditionally in Pittsfield compared to what you would have to earn in order to buy a house in Great Barrington. And you would need to make a family income of about $147,000 to be able to purchase the least expensive house in Great Barrington.
Wow.
You would need to make $147,000.
That's staggering.
And I was like, I don't see that very often.
No, you're not going to see that. It's a very rare thing here in the Berkshires to be able to bring that that level in. And like you said, the least expensive. Forget about the middle or the upper end, right?
Yeah, I think we found the median price sale of a house in Southern Berkshire, not like Tieringham or any of those, but was like $529,000. So that's not in the realm for most people, you know? So
well, so even more important, the work that Central Berkshire Habitat for Humanity is doing, bit by bit, you know, bringing that back down to make it affordable for people and to, you know, continue to be able to live and have a life without having to be so stretched all the time.
Yeah. And we feel like home ownership in communities and neighborhoods is really a stabilizing factor because when you have a lot of transients, a lot of other problems come with that area, with that. And also even maintaining your home. Mm. Like if, you know, if you're a renter, like I hate garbage day. I'm like, oh my God, could people pick up the garbage after the can goes, you know?
It's all the building blocks of the community, right?
Yeah,
this is what it is. It's starts from the ground level and comes up and all the problems, the top level problems that people love to complain about will never get solved unless you start working at the ground level and figuring that stuff out.
Exactly.
Right?
And I think part of it is feeling like you own the place that you're in, like not just owning the building, but owning your community because your voice is important.
Yeah.
So we do
you
a
got
lot.
Got skin in the game.
Yeah. We do a lot of work. Like we're having a fun thing at Dower Square on Saturday, Berkshire Regional Planning and Habitat and Public Health. We're throwing a breakfast with Santa. But we're going there. Mm-hmm. Like we're not expecting them to come to us. We're going there and we're going to have a clothing boutique that they can choose from. Mm. And we have a little place called Mrs. Claus's Closet where kids will get a ticket and they can go buy a gift for their parents.
Oh, wow.
Because I remember when I was little, I lived with my grandparents for 5 years. And you know, I always got presents, but I always felt bad because I'm not a crafty. I'm a good cook, but I'm not a crafty person. So I never really made anything that they were like, oh, let's keep this for a lifetime. It's like they're like, oh God, another one of her things. And I always felt bad that I couldn't give something, right? And I had gone to a church bazaar that let kids pick a gift for their parents.
Nice.
And I still remember, and that was 40 some odd years ago, I still remember getting my grandma a bling necklace, and anybody who knows me knows I'm a bling girl, and a lavender sachet. And I was like, you know what? I want to recreate that there for those kids.
Nice. So that's on Saturday.
That's
where?
That's on Saturday. It's at Dower Square.
Dower Square,
it's,
and what
it's
time?
It's for those folks. It'll start at 9:30 and end at 12:30, and
great.
We'll have photos with Santa, but it's really designed for the
for
kids
that
live that live there.
For the folks in Dower. Yeah. Okay. And again, the Home for the Holidays.
Yes.
Give that a quick plug. 10
seconds. So if you really want to make your donation grow further, go on berkshirehabitat.org and make a donation and mark Home for the Holidays, and it'll be matched.
There you go.
Thank you so much.
Carolyn Valley, thanks for being here. I really appreciate it, and we'll see you again.
Okay.
Happy holidays,
happy
and a happy
holidays.
New Year to you.
Thanks.
And we'll see you later, everybody. Have a great day.
Sure.